Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we are studying Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42, and we're looking at the judgment which will take place at the second coming of Christ. And verse 36 reads this way, "But of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Today, as we come to this portion of Scripture, as we looked at in our study yesterday, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, that when the abomination of desolation takes place, which is when the Antichrist goes into the temple and demands to be worshipped as God, Daniel says there'll be 1,290 days left, and then the end will come. And that's most likely a reference there to the second coming of Christ. Now, when we come to verse 36, Jesus says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows." It creates a dilemma in that those people that see the abomination of desolation, they know 1,290 days later, and then the Lord's going to establish his kingdom. So how do we resolve this conflict? Well, there's been six views as to how to understand this dilemma, and we'll be looking at those six views in our study today. The first view that has been suggested, which is adopted by many, is the view that the dates are not precise here in the Scriptures. This is based on the idea that Daniel mentions the middle of the week in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is a vague term. That doesn't necessarily have to mean in the exact middle. It just says somewhere in the middle, the abomination of desolation will take place. We also see Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, mentioning 1,290 days, and then Daniel chapter 12, verse 12 mentions 1,335 days, and in other places mentions 1,260. So this viewpoint would adopt the idea that there's some leeway there, that the prophecy is not meant to be exactly precise, so we don't know exactly how many days it would be after the abomination of desolation that the end would come. The second view is that the exact day or the exact hour is not what is able to be known. And some would come along and say, we can't know the exact day or hour, but you can know the general time period. And that's because in verse 36, he mentions the day or the hour. Also in verse 42 of Matthew 24, it says, "Watch therefore, if you don't know what hour your Lord is coming." Then this is repeated also in verse 44. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." And then also in verse 50, "The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of." Then also chapter 25, verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, if you do not know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming." And some would come along and say that what you have here is that you could know the general time period, but you can't know the precise day or the precise hour which the Lord is coming back. Now, the problem is that the terms day and hour used in the Bible, not necessarily to refer to 60 minutes or 24 hours a day, but a general time period. And then also what some have done by taking this viewpoint is they say, well, it's true, you can't know the day or the hour, so they get down to the year in which the Lord is going to come back. And that's not the Lord's point here. He's telling us we don't know when it'll take place. The third viewpoint could be described as a catastrophic view, and that is that this time period in the tribulation is going to be so extreme and so many catastrophic events will take place in the heavens that one will not be able to determine an exact 24-hour period. And there's truth to that. It will be hard to tell when the day begins or when that 24-hour period begins and ends, because it says the stars are going to fall from the sky. The Bible also speaks of the moon not giving its light, the sun not giving its light. And so it will be a confusing time period. But some have said, well, if you have a Timex, it takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking. They could go by their watches. Now, I don't know if that is actually true, but there's some merit to this viewpoint because the time structure will be difficult to maintain. The fourth viewpoint can be referred to as the last generation view. And this would be understood to mean that only the last generation that exists, which actually sees the abomination of desolation, they will be the ones that will be able to pinpoint a specific date when the Lord's going to come back. They'll see the abomination of desolation and know exactly that there's 1,290 days left, but no other generation will be able to make such a claim. All the generations which exist up to that last generation do not know the day nor the hour in which the Lord is going to return. And the Lord has given us revelation that when the abomination of desolation takes place, that generation which sees that event will know that the Lord's return and establishing of his kingdom is very near. I do believe that that viewpoint has some merit to it. The fifth viewpoint is referred to as the I don't know view. Those that would hold this viewpoint are saying it's extremely difficult to harmonize how these two truths relate. How could you combine the idea that no one knows a day nor the hour, but yet Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 says that there'll be 1290 days after the abomination of desolation. And it's just the idea that maybe it's a combination of all these things that have been stated up to this point, or that it'll take further study or further waiting upon the Lord and further prayer in order to come to an understanding of how to harmonize these passages of Scripture. And the bottom line, it's not that there's a problem with the Bible, but it would be a problem with our inability to understand this truth. Then the sixth viewpoint is that what is being referred to here is the rapture of the church. This section is not talking about the second coming, but about the rapture of the church. Now, the strength of this viewpoint or this position is that we do know that from the abomination of desolation, there will be 1290 days, but no one knows a day or the hour of the rapture of the church. Then those that would adopt this viewpoint would then go on to interpret verses 40 and 41 as the rapture of the church, which says that then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. But those are taken away before the tribulation period begins, and the ones that are left there during that time of tribulation. Now, the weakness of this viewpoint is that the context is dealing with the second coming and the judgments that are going to take place at that point, not what's going to happen before the tribulation period begins. And that would be seen from what we looked at yesterday at verse 36, where the Lord says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, those that would interpret that as the rapture of the church, they have a difficulty, because Jesus, when he says, "But of that day," we should say, "But of what day?" That means he must have been talking about it here in the context, because you don't introduce a new statement or new subject by walking up to someone and saying, "But of that day." Their first thought would be, "What day are you talking about?" And that's the importance of the context when we interpret the Bible. I tell people that study in our Bible school that there's three main rules of Bible interpretation. The first one is context, the second is context, and the third, yes, is context. And so when we come to the context of Matthew 24, verse 36, what the Lord has just been discussing in verses 29 through 35 is the second coming. And then when he says, "But of that day," it brings us back to the second coming of Christ. And so what he's describing here is what's going to happen when the Lord comes back. And then he goes on to describe the judgment that'll take place. Now let's look at the rest of the verses in light of a second coming context, where Jesus goes on to say at verse 37, "But as the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now the coming isn't the rapture of the church. It's when he comes in full glory and authority, because that's what they're asking. When are you going to come? And that coming there is a reference to the radiant glory of God when he establishes his kingdom. "Just for as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So here in verse 39, where it says he took them all away, that's the flood came and washed them all away with the judgment of God that came upon them. And they were living their life, eating and drinking and marrying until Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and took them away to judgment. Then, if we understand verse 39 properly, the taking away is a taking away to judgment, then verses 40 and 41 make very good sense that also the taking away mentioned there is a reference to taking away in judgment. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. The one that's taken is taken away to judgment. The one that is left there when the Lord establishes his kingdom. They enter into that millennial kingdom. Verse 41, two women will be grinding in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Again, that's taken away in judgment, because the Bible, which we'll see in our study tomorrow, says that when the Lord comes back, the first thing that he'll do is he'll gather out all the tares out of his kingdom, and he'll separate all the ungodly and bring them under his judgment. So this taking away here in Matthew 24, verses 39 through 41, is a reference to being taken away in judgment, just like the flood in the time of Noah took away the ungodly in that flood and brought God's judgment upon them. The same thing will happen when the Lord comes back. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to take the goats out of the midst of his kingdom. He's going to take the tares out of his kingdom and bring them under judgment. And then those that are left on the earth, those are the ones that he's going to establish his millennial kingdom, where he rules and reigns with authority on the throne of David there in the city of Jerusalem, and then exercising that authority over all the earth. And I know probably at this point you said, "But I've always understood verses 36 through 42 to be references to the rapture of the church." Well, you have to deal with a couple issues that I've addressed today, where Jesus is not introducing a new subject in verse 36 where he says, but of that day. You also have to deal with the fact that those that were taken away in the time of Noah were taken away to judgment. You'd have to understand that in the same light, that they are also taken away to judgment, not rescued out of this time period. Plus what we'll look at tomorrow in our study, looking at further evidence that this is a picture of judgment, not of the rapture of the church. Now, I would like to say at this point that what people teach from this portion of Scripture, I believe to be true, that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period begins, but I don't believe that verses 36 through 42 makes that point. I think that point has to be made from other portions of Scripture, but not from Matthew chapter 24. I hope you'll stay with us over the next couple days as we continue to study these issues that Matthew 24 verses 36 through 42 bring up.